Well, thank you, Rob, and others for that leading us in worship. That was just good, isn't it, to focus and just to give space for God to speak. Thank you, Andrew, for being faithful to that too. For testimonies, all part of the worship and praise. God's worthy, isn't he? Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to talk today. We've been looking at 2 Corinthians, but we're just having a break from that now, and we'll be picking the rest of the book up after the summer break. So we've got a couple of Sundays to go, and then we'll be doing some seminary-type stuff during August, and that seems to be coming together well, so I think there's going to be a variety of subjects there for us to enjoy too. But I want to speak today, and I was thinking, is this a teaching? Well, I'm not sure it's a teaching so much. I just really want to share what a rhema, I believe, from the Lord about the importance, again, of foundations. And I've entitled my subject, Jesus, Our Foundation. And I want to just talk on this. Now, I was thinking, ooh, this is a little bit challenging in places. But I think sometimes we need a little bit of a challenge, don't we, from God? Amen. Because we want to do what he wants to do and not what always we want to do. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus says this, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. What an amazing statement. In the New Living Translation, he puts it this way, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. The English Standard Version, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church, Jesus was just so confident and positive about the church, the people of God. And they are quite amazing statements to make. I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not be able to conquer the church of Jesus Christ. And we've seen from 2,000 years or so ago now, when the church was just a little scattering of people in Israel, one third of the world these days would now owe allegiance to Jesus Christ. Jesus is building his church. And another statement which I just love, I just come across it in a book in the last few months, is this, that the local church is the hope of the world. And I want to connect that, you see. Jesus says, I will build my church. And this statement from Bill Hybels actually says, the local church is the hope of the world. And I believe that with all my heart too. There is no other answer for the problems this world faces other than the church of Jesus Christ. Now, you would have every right to challenge me on that statement, but I hope by the end of Sunday, by the end of our session today, you will be agreeing with me. The Church of Jesus Christ contains this amazing treasure, the gospel. This amazing treasure, the presence of Jesus. This amazing treasure, the Holy Spirit. The Church of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. He lives in us. His power is worked through us. I think Matt said it earlier on. We are his hands and his feet. His love's expressed through us. We're called to be victorious. We're called to overcome. We are called to be the light of the world and the hope of the world. Is there an amen out there? Do you agree with that? That's what we are called to be. Hallelujah. Just come back from a couple of trips to Africa, and I think this occasion, probably more than others for some reason, it just hit me that the United Nations don't have the answer. All the NGOs and the voluntary organizations, and there's loads of them in some of these places in Africa, don't have the answer. The governments don't have the answer. Aid isn't even becoming the answer, because every time I go, every country I've visited is just as bad as it was. But Jesus, through the church, is the only answer. And when they tell me in Africa that even the church is corrupt, I mean, that's not the whole church, I'm sure it is over here too, to some extent, but when they tell me that even pastors are embezzling money which has been given to their congregations or to their ministries, I'm thinking, what hope is there? But it's the church that Jesus is building which is the answer and is the hope of the world. Capitalism hasn't got the answers. We've realised that over the last year or so here in the UK. Communism hasn't got the answers. Secularism, humanism doesn't have the answers. In fact, they're just pulling us away from God. I think they're a bigger challenge to us than some of these other religions, actually, because they're just trying to deny the very existence of God and just make us all completely a secularised society. Atheist society, not believing in God, not believing in right and wrong, not having values, because when we take God out of the picture, our value system gets warped too. I was reading in the Daily Mail just the other day that one of the health authorities in our country is encouraging the education authority with a leaflet encouraging children at school to enjoy sex. If it's good for adults, then it's good for children too. And you think, where are we coming to? Where are we coming to? But take God out, that's what you're going to be saying. No values, no rights and wrongs. It's just, well, if it's good for adults, it will be good for children. Why are we just keeping something special which God sees for marriage? Why are we denying children some activity there which they could enjoy too? That's secularism. And it's creeping in to our society. But the church is the answer. The Church of Jesus Christ is the answer. And I really believe the church here in Reading is the hope for Reading. Yeah. It's not the Oracle. It's not the Thames Valley businesses and the, what was it, Silicon Link, whatever we're called, you know, and all of the businesses which are coming to Reading. It's the Church of Jesus Christ, which is going to be the answer to our town. Street pastors are part of that. Faith is part of that. Every local congregation is part of that. Every ministry which is happening is part of the answer to Reading. So I want to ask this question, what sort of church? Well, it's only the church which is built by Jesus which is actually going to be the answer. It's not man-made denominations. It's not religion. It's not churches built the way I think they should be built or the way you think they should be built or the way bishops or vicars think they should be built. It's the church which is built by Jesus which is going to be the answer to Reading and the world. Amen. You're allowed to agree with me. Matthew 16. Let me just go back a little bit. I quoted from that little passage when Jesus asked that question. But look at the context which he made that statement. Matthew 16, verse 13 says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Hallelujah. Two really good questions Jesus asks here. He says to his friends, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he asks the most important question, "Who do you say that I am?" You see, the people of the day were saying Jesus was all sorts of people. He was John the Baptist, come back from the dead, Jeremiah, Elijah, or one of the prophets. Or in other passages we read, well, he's only Joseph and Mary's boy. He's a carpenter. We've known him all our lives. He grew up making furniture and that in Nazareth. You know, that's who Jesus was. But all of those answers, while they might be true, were only seen through the eyes, human eyes, a human perspective. And many people today would leave Jesus at that level. He was a great teacher. You know, we love his teachings. He was the founder of Christianity. You know, we think he's a great, he stood for moral truth, he this, he that, he the other. But that isn't the complete answer either. Even Muslims, and I don't want to offend Muslims, but even Muslims believe Jesus was good at that sort of level. But actually Jesus says, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter comes out with this amazing statement. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You've not worked this out through studying scripture. You've not worked this out through clever mind stuff. This is not flesh and blood. This is not natural. This is revelation from heaven. That's how you've understood who Jesus is. And I want to say to you too, it's not just working things out logically and trying to come to some understanding that will ever get us to that place of really understanding who Jesus is. It needs to be revelation from heaven. He's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. And for Peter, who for centuries the Jews would have been waiting for this Messiah, for them to all of a sudden proclaim and declare that was such an incredible revelation and statement of faith. Because that wasn't what they thought the Messiah was going to look like. But he knew the Holy Spirit had revealed, he's the Christ, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we need to come to that revelation too about who Jesus is. Not arrived at logically, but a revelation in the heart. He's the Christ, the anointed King. He's God. When Thomas, doubting Thomas, do you remember him? Couldn't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus says, look at my hands, look at my side. And Thomas falls on his knees. Revelation just flooded his heart. My Lord and my God. That's who Jesus is. And it's on that confession that Jesus is building his church. That's why I say, if we don't understand who Jesus is with revelation, we're going to have a weak expectation of church. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. You're a nice little lovey-dovey Jesus in a manger. You're a nice man, nice teachings. He's God. He's King. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That changes everything. That changes everything. When we begin to understand that. But if we want to build a church on nice, gentle, little Jesus, that's not going to stand very strong against heaven, against hell. But if we begin to see what this rock, this revelation of who Jesus is, and we build on that, then we're going to be strong, and nothing will stand against us, and the glory of God will be seen through the people of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I say, this revelation changes everything. You see, some of us think, well, we've become saved, we're doing God a favor, you know, we're part of the church too. We've got it completely the wrong way around. He's done us the favor. He came, he died, and he's rose again that you can be saved. That's the favor. It's not us turning up here on a Sunday or turning up at Wycliffe on a Sunday or being, you know, that's not the we're not doing God any favors. He's done everything for us. Our response actually needs to be, wow, I'm going to turn around. I repent. I thought of you differently. I've never understood it like that. You're King. You're Lord. You're God. And Jesus says, that's what I build my church on. You see, we get a bit confused when Jesus said to Peter, you were the on this rock. If you look at the Greek words, Peter actually means pebble, small stone. And so Jesus was actually saying, Simon, you're a pebble, but I'm building the church on this rock, this revelation. I mean, look at Peter. I mean, he's a great guy. But just a few days, weeks later, Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. You don't understand the ways of God. He wasn't building his church on that. He was building his church on the revelation of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of God. And that's who we need to be built on too. How do we build on this rock? Have a look at Matthew chapter 7 with me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. This is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Notice, first of all, both houses endured difficulties. When you become a Christian, The storms of life will continue to beat you as much as they will before you weren't a Christian. Being a Christian isn't a bed of roses. Being a Christian doesn't mean, right, everything's going to be fine from now on. Notice from that parable there, the storms came against both houses. But the difference was, one stood and one didn't. And the reason one stood was it was built on the rock. And Jesus said, the way you build it on the rock is to hear and do. It's to obey. If you obey my teachings, your life will be built on this rock. It's quite simple, isn't it? You see, he's Lord. He's King. So we do what he says, and not what everybody else says we should do. That's how we, as individuals and as a church, build our lives on that firm and solid rock. We do what he says, and we trust and believe him. That if we do what he says, we will be firm. We will remain established. That we will not collapse when everything comes against us. So a little test would be, how do we know whether we're built on this rock? Well, if your marriage was under challenge, where do you stand? If you lost your job, where are you? If the money, your pension, your investments dry up, where are you? Are we collapsing or are we trusting God still? If you've got a serious illness, now I mean this is serious stuff. I'm not saying I've got all this sorted out myself. If there's a serious illness afflicts you and or your family, or a death that you weren't expecting comes, are we thrown to the ground and just crushed and gone? Or are we still standing when those storms have come? When a ministry leaves the church and friends leave and move somewhere else, do we collapse under that or do we stand? If we're built on the rock, we'll stand. It might feel like we need a little bit of, we're knocked a bit, but we're going to be there still. When that storm stops, that house is still standing because it's built on Jesus. Trust, faith, and obedience to his word is the foundation which Jesus wants to build the church on. Amen? I mean, this is hard stuff, isn't it? I haven't lost my job, but I know some have. I haven't lost investments, I haven't got much, but I know some have. You know, I haven't had some difficulties that some of you have been facing in your lives, but I know some have. But are we standing on that rock? Are we standing firm, trusting and obeying because of who Jesus is? I hope so, because that's how we're going to see a strong church. Now, I was thinking, this is all just a little bit radical, isn't it? Yeah. Calling people to obey. Calling people to follow. Calling people to live by the Bible. Well, it is radical. Jesus is radical. The church should be radical too. It's going to be totally different from what they're telling us in the world because it's a different kingdom. So that's why we need to come back to the scriptures, come back to what Jesus said, and build our life on his rock, on him. He becomes our source. He becomes our life, our vision. He's the rock. It's not like, well, my dream is really important, God. Can I put that down there too? Or my perspective, my opinion, Lord, have you considered that? Yeah, what about my dream? What about my thoughts? What about my desires, Lord? No. Forget all of that lot. It's him. His dreams, his perspective, his opinions, his desires, we're building on him. Is that right? I mean, our stuff comes in over above that, but it's not part of the foundation. That foundation is Jesus. It's obeying. We can't add him on. Some of you are far too busy. Far too busy. You're just trying to add God on. You can't just add him on. He needs to be your life. It's what we're building on. He is what we're living for. It's not like, well, I'm living for my career and I'm going to throw God in as well as much as I can, or I'm living for my family and I just want a bit of this. He is it. He's everything. Our family comes onto him. Our business comes onto him. Our ministry comes onto him. Is it making sense? This is the rock. This is the rock. And we build on the rock. We're not going to collapse when tough times come. We're going to be part of a church, which is the hope of the world. Hallelujah. I'm running out of time as usual, so I'm going to skip a little bit here, but I just want to say our thinking needs to change. If he's God, he's God. And it means practical things. Very, very practical things. We love, we forgive, don't want to, doesn't matter. He said do it. We're kind, don't want to be kind, doesn't matter. He said, do it. We honour, we're generous with our money, we live holy lives. Why? We're part of the Church of Jesus. That's what Jesus would have done. We don't get drunk. We don't gossip and swear. We don't have sex outside marriage. We don't marry non-Christians. Why? We're Christians. We're built on this rock. We're building our lives on the rock of Jesus. We're living his way. We might make mistakes. We might slip up. We might wish we hadn't done something that we'd done, or hadn't said something that we'd said, or had a different attitude than we had. So we come back to him. Lord, I want to build on this rock. I'm so sorry. Change my heart. Change my head. I don't want to think like that or behave like that. I come back to you. And as we confess, he forgives. And we're back on that solid rock, and we're living for him. And that church will be the hope of the world. That church will make a difference. Foundations are really, really important. And I feel like I'm just being a little bit of a building inspector today and just asking you to have a look at your foundation. What are you building on? If we want to be the answer for Reading, we can't build on our thoughts and opinions. It needs to be his. Now, I can't look at all your foundations, but you can. You can just look yourself and say, am I doing this right? Is this what Jesus would do? What would Jesus do? That's why we need to be building on the same foundation and the same rock. LifeSpring will be strong. We will make a difference for Jesus. Got a few minutes left, and I want to talk about one other aspect to do with foundations. Ephesians 2. Slide 9, Ephesians 2, verse 19. Well done, Craig, doing this for me. He did it. There's a blank on the new sheet. We don't know who's meant to be doing it, but Craig stood in for me, so thank you very much, Craig. Ephesians 2, verse 19 says this, one of my favourite passages. Consequently, he's talking to the church, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens, hallelujah, with God's people, and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. That's us. We're included with the Old Testament people of God, the New Testament people of God. We are God's household. We are fellow citizens with God's people, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. It's a slightly different picture, but the chief cornerstone is the main part of the foundation. That shapes up the building. It gives it strength and direction. He goes on to say, in him, in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Lovely promises. We are joined together, being built together in Christ to be a place for God to come and dwell. Hallelujah. Notice we're not just a pile of bricks on a building site. The church is being built together. Stone upon stone, gift upon gift, ministry upon ministry. And as God builds us together here at LifeSpring, I think we're being built together in a church in Reading with Wycliffe and with Reading Community Church and with Greyfriars, and we've got our distinctives and we've got our different gifts which we can bring into the mix too. God is building us together. But stones are being shaped and formed. It's about unity, it's about commitment, it's about a place for God to live in. But notice this, Paul says here, a foundation of apostles and prophets. Now, there's a number of different views which you could come up with on this, and I haven't got time to talk about different ones. I just want to share one for you to really consider now. Because I really believe the church does need to be built on apostolic and prophetic foundation as revealed in Scripture. You need to bear with me. This isn't just technical, theological stuff. This is practical. I'm practical. You'll see this is practical. So the church needs to be built on apostolic and prophetic foundation as revealed in Scripture. And we need to receive and be open to the ministry of the apostolic and the prophetic too. Paul says, after all, the church is built on that foundation. So what is this apostolic and prophetic foundation? Well, I want to suggest to you this. Ultimately, it's his dream, God's. It's his plan. Even before the creation of the world, he had a plan to have a people for himself. The church, taken among everyone else to show the glory and attributes of God. That all the way through Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, you see that apostolic and prophetic dream unfolding. The church with the apostolic and the prophetic as a foundation is so much more than a teaching centre. That would be built on teachers. And there are some churches with amazing teachers. You might not think this one. You might have a different view. Yeah, but teaching centres are great, but that's not a church built on the apostolic and prophetic foundation. Other churches are just incredibly evangelistic. They're built on that evangelistic ministry. And usually they don't keep those which they've won. But they're out there all the time, they're doing the stuff, they're busy, they're sharing the gospel. But actually church is about, as we've seen, building and keeping. It's not built on evangelists, that's why. It's not even built on pastors or that pastoral ministry. And for me that would talk about family, community, love, friendship, relationship, beautiful aspect of church. But you're not going to change the world by living like that. The church is built on the apostolic and the prophetic, which includes all of that, but it includes God's purposes as revealed through Scripture and God's dreams. Listen to this. Oh, let me just add this. There's a good little bit in my notes here. A church built on the apostolic and prophetic, it's a vision to impact, to reach out, to bless and to be good news, to take this gospel of the kingdom to every nations that multitudes might hear and respond to the gospel. Amen? You see, that's God's dream. He wants to populate heaven. Reinhard Bonnke said, plundering hell to populate heaven. That was his ministry. That's Jesus' dream, just to populate heaven with as many as possible that are going to say yes to him. Let me just go back a little bit in Scripture. Galatians 3, verse 13 says this. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. We have been purchased. The church has been redeemed. Why have we been redeemed? We can go all the way back to Genesis, to find out why we've been redeemed, according to Paul there. And I just want to refer you to Genesis 12, 1-3, when God said this to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will bless. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Paul says, we've been redeemed. That the promise, the blessing given to Abraham might be ours too. What's that? Blessed to be a blessing. God wants to bless us because he wants the world to be reached with his love, his life, his hope, and his glory. And all the way back to Abraham, all nations are going to be blessed through you. Through Israel? No. Well, partly through Israel, but through the church of Jesus Christ, through the people of God, all nations are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Genesis 1, God's plan, populate the earth, subdue it. Let me just end with Mark 16. Jesus says to them, go into all the world, preach the good news. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but who does not believe will be condemned. Are you catching? See, this is the dream of God. This is his plan all the way through from Genesis. Jesus confirms it. And if we look at the back of the book, we'll see multitudes beyond number in heaven who've responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let me just, in the last few minutes, just bring this down. So what does that mean for us, church? What does that mean for us here at LifeSpring? I've talked about the importance of each as individuals being built on that foundation of Jesus. He's our rock. We do what he says. We live for him. We trust him. But this apostolic and prophetic foundation, I want to suggest to you is this for us. God's laying this afresh for us at LifeSpring. We're committed to the vision of G12, to the apostolic ministry of Pastor Caesar. We're committed to the vision of saving souls, growing cells, and forming 12s. We are committed to the Great Commission, expressed that way, to win, to consolidate, to disciple, to send. This is the apostolic and prophetic foundation God is put here at LifeSpring for us to commit on and work together towards, that we might see Jesus glorified. We're committed to the values of honor, of love, of discipleship, of family, of obedience to the word of God, of faith to do the impossible. That's what Andrew was talking to us about. We're committed to the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. This is the foundation, that apostolic and prophetic foundation we've received, that LifeSpring is being built on. Amen? A loud amen, please. This is what God is calling us to. Built on Jesus, but these are the distinctives. This is the hope. This is the expectation which God has given us through apostles and prophets, through the scriptures, and through the ministries which we've received. And so I believe it's an apostolic and prophetic church. And I believe as we are, we will see a large church, Jesus-centered church, emerge here at LifeSpring as we're built on that rock of Jesus Christ and that apostolic and prophetic foundation together. We will see Jesus being made known in this town, and the church will become the hope of the world. Amen. It's not my idea, I don't think. It's not my concept, my opinion. It's Jesus. It's built on him and doing what he wanted us to do from Genesis, to make him known, to be blessed by him, that we might be a blessing. People want to say, how do you look after your families? How do you look after your children? Look at a church. How do you sort out your career? And come to the church, we'll show you. How do you care? Come to the church. How do you discipline? Come to the church. How do you love? Look at the church. So we're doing it the way Jesus said do it. We're building our lives on the rock of Jesus, which of course is the word of God too. Isn't this true? Isn't this what it's all about? I mean, a whole lot of different views out there. But this is the one that we're listening to. This is the one that we're building on. And I believe as we commit together to that vision. Now that aspect might be slightly different from Matt's at Wycliffe, that's okay. This is our part which we bring into the picture, the church in town. But I just want to say that is what God is calling us to. And that's the foundation which I believe God wants us to build on. It's a vision to reach out, a vision to strengthen, a vision to disciple, and a vision to see others reaching out. Jesus glorified, lives changed, and Reading impacted with the gospel of Jesus. Amen. You can clap. You can clap because you agree. Do you want to be part of that type of church, which really is the hope of the world? Are we prepared to really build on that rock? Rob, that's it. Come on, please. Are we prepared to really build on that rock, which is Jesus, and to live his way?
Yes, Lord.
I mean, oh, Lord, help us. I just felt when Andrew was sharing earlier on, I wanted to give us an opportunity to cross this line and to say, if we feel right, I've slipped up. I've been doing things my own way. That rock isn't as solid and as strong as it should be. I want to cross this line. I want to build again on the rock of Jesus. Some of you might not even know Jesus yet as Lord and Saviour. Well, that's an opportunity today. Cross the line in faith, and we'll just want to share the gospel with you and help you have a clear understanding of what that means. But it's not us doing God a favour. He's already done that for us. We're responding to the incredible favour of God. I'm not going to leave it here because it's not quite long enough. But I mean, if you want to come forward at some time and say, yeah, I just want to recommit, Lord. Recommit to building on you. I want to recommit to this vision that you've given LifeSpring. I've been holding back a little bit. I've not been sure about this, not sure about that. But if that's where we're going, then I'm going too. And you might just want to come forward too. And we're just going to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit just to come and minister and bless and meet you where you are. And just making that expression doesn't sort your life out. We need to build. But it's intentional. It's an intention of our hearts that we would be expressing. And we've got cells and we've got cell leaders and we've got friends and we've got others which can help stand with us.